Are you ready to transform your financial future through mortgage note investing? Hi, I'm Jamie Bateman, host of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. As a passionate entrepreneur myself and real estate investor myself, I've dedicated my career to empowering investors like you. Join my mentorship program tailored to meet your unique business objectives with a very small financial commitment to get started. Gain access to my personal experience, trusted consultants and vendors, and receive customized mentoring services. You'll get hands-on guidance on everything from determining your buy box and reviewing your bidding processes to managing notes with third-party servicers, handling collateral, and much more. Don't wait. Visit LabradorLending.com to start your journey to abundance today. Let's unlock your full potential together. I thoroughly enjoyed chatting with Chris Davenport of Next Level Leadership Academy. Chris is a business coach who's had a long history himself of business success, as well as faced some significant adversity, specifically with regard to a major lawsuit that he faced as an entrepreneur. And man, he throws out a lot of just practical advice along the way, how to start a business, how to whether to go with your heart and do what you love, or whether to, you know, serve the market and serve others, and when to pivot, when to stick with your goals and just grind it out and finish your objective, or when to change course. This one is chock full of nuggets and practical wisdom. Chris really brings a kind of a level-headed approach, and I love his vibe. He's definitely got a good amount of real life experience that he now applies in helping entrepreneurs specifically to either start a business or scale their business and take it to the next level. Chris definitely got vulnerable speaking about how the lawsuit he faced really placed a lot of pressure and stress on his internal business team, and how it affected his partnership, and how really there's so much that's at play with the human dynamic. And I, one of the things he mentions at the end is kind of the key element to building a successful team that really gets overlooked, especially in today's world. So you're going to have to listen to the end for that one. Chris Davenport was a fantastic guest, and you're going to love this episode.
Welcome to From Adversity to Abundance, the go-to podcast for real estate entrepreneurs seeking not just to thrive, but to conquer with resilience and mental sharpness. Each week, join us as we dive into the compelling world of real estate through the lens of mental fitness, where challenges transform into opportunities. Get ready to transform your mindset and expand your understanding of what it takes to succeed in real estate. Let's explore these stories of triumph and resilience together.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. I am your host, Jamie Bateman, and today we have with us Chris Davenport. Chris is an executive coach. He helps business leaders, including real estate entrepreneurs across the country, with achieving their goals and overcoming adversity. Chris, how are you doing today?
Great, Jamie. Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. This is going to be a fun chat. So Chris, for our listeners who may not be familiar with you, who are you and what are you up to today?
I am basically an executive coach. So what that means is, I know the coaching term is thrown around a lot, but,
it is
the way I apply it is, I help executive teams and, also, you know, aspiring entrepreneurs, you know, really figure out a plan for the team or themselves to be successful at whatever they want to do. I do have some niches. One of them, as you mentioned, is real estate. And so I help real estate teams, real estate investors really form a business plan, or if they have one, I take it and help them make a more solid foundation. Mm-hmm. And really mentor them and coach them to success.
And would you say you take them to the next level?
Yes, I do. I take them to the next level.
I think I failed to mention that Chris's business is called Next Level Leadership Academy. And so we'll get into a little bit later, a little bit more detail about how you serve entrepreneurs, which will be really good. But before we get there, we want to hear a little more about your own personal story, Chris, and how, adversity that you've been able to overcome. I say able, like it's a something that's exciting that you're looking for, more and more adversity. But the fact is, you've been an entrepreneur for a long time, and you've helped many entrepreneurs. So you've no doubt d faced personal adversity in your own life, but you've also tangentially seen a lot of other adversity. And so, just for the listener who may be new, the show is intended to provide practical value, but also inspiration to the entrepreneur out there who will face adversity, and that will come in many different forms and sizes, and helping them to get to abundance. And what does that mean? It is a little nebulous, but but it's guaranteed to happen as far as the adversity goes. But how we respond to it, that's not guaranteed. That's well within our control oftentimes. So enough of me rambling, Chris. Let's jump back into your backstory. Where do you want to start?
I guess I'll start it when I was going off to college. My plan really changed, and I really wasn't prepared for this because growing up, I thought that I was going to be a doctor. I'd planned on being an anesthesiologist, and I went off to college, and in that process, I was given a laptop for graduation from high school. And gosh, before the classes even started, I just started falling in love with technology. And before my first class, I said, oh, I have to change my major. And I just found that I had such a knack for problem solving with technology and helping others kind of in the boon of the dot-com and from the 95 to 2000 was kind of when I was in college. And I just gravitated towards it. And I found that I knew things, I was able to find things out about technology that other people didn't know. And I kind of took it for granted, but it was a ton of fun at the same time. That I started a small business and I was actually making some money from it. And so there in college, I started my first business and started helping businesses with computer issues that nobody really understood at the time. And somehow this 18 to 20-year-old kid, figured this stuff out for these, sometimes larger companies in Houston. So it was a ton of fun.
That's really cool. And before I have one question I want to ask about becoming a doctor, but quick commentary about people often talk about whether you should follow your passion and just do what you love and the money will show up and all that, and but then other people say, no, you need to find a niche that people will pay you for, right? Figure out what how to make money and how to serve others. But it kind of sounds like you were in the middle of that Venn diagram, if you will, where you really enjoyed tech, but you also sounds like through some trial and error maybe, but figured out that people were willing to pay you, so they had a need that you were solving for them. So it was actually a little bit of both right out of the gate, it sounds like. Is that fair?
It is definitely fair, and it just w that overlap was there, and it happened without me even r realizing what was occurring at the time.
No, you can say
And
it was all strategic on your part.
yeah, oh, I planned it out. I stayed up night after night writing this out, and it just worked out perfectly.
Right. That's what entrepreneurship is.
Yeah, that's it.
No, that's really good. But back to just quickly, why did you want to become a doctor initially?
Yeah, I was always interested in science and medicine, and I think it was because I had a friend that in school, and And his father was an anesthesiologist, and I just took interest in how calm he was and how sure of himself he was, and how confident, and he seemed like a very happy individual that was, helping others, providing service, getting compensated fairly. I mean, that's all we all could ask for, right? And
That makes sense.
so I took that as a model and, ran with it from an early age.
Yeah, and the truth is too, I mean, most people, not everyone, but most people in college at that age, you don't really know what you want to do.
No,
I mean,
no,
so
no.
many of us change direction. So, before we move on with your story, how would you, talk to the listener out there who's trying to figure out, okay, there's some signs that what I'm working, that the direction I'm headed right now is not going well. Do I just put my head down and grind it out and complete my goal? And I said I was going to be a doctor, for example.
Yep.
How do I know it, whether it's time to pivot and maybe try something else? What would you say about that?
I've got a couple of thoughts on that. I would start with the first one. I think you would know to pivot. It's first of all, before that, you should always try and follow through with what you tell yourself you're going to do. Otherwise, I've done a lot of studies and gone through cognitive behavioral therapy, kind of rewiring your brain, so to speak. If you tell yourself, "Hey, I'm going to do this," and then you don't, then you establish a pattern. So try your best to complete what you've set out to do.
That's really good.
However, if something comes along, like in my case, the laptop, I blame the laptop. That was the
Not your
catalyst,
fault.
and Windows 95, was there, and it just all kind of, culminated. If there's a
Explosion.
catalyst so loud, speaking to you, and it's prolific in every way, don't ignore it. You have to trust your gut, and because I'm ADD and ADHD, whatever they call it. So I do have a tendency to jump around to different things. So I have
Right. I
to
think a
remind
lot of
myself.
entrepreneurs do that.
Yeah, I think it's a necessary evil of being an entrepreneur to be,
For
you're
sure.
mentally ADD or something.
Squirrel. Yeah, no, you're
Yes,
right.
exactly. So I think that you have to trust your gut, but don't jump around just for the sake of jumping around to start something else. That's what I would say.
And it's a tough question, right? There's no clear-cut answer, but I would say as soon as you face initial adversity, that doesn't mean it's time to change course, because that's,
No.
you're going to face hardship in anything that you do. So, but that's that the what you said is really good. So, and also I think it's comforting to know that whatever you change course to doesn't mean you've necessarily committed to that for life either. So
Right.
could learn a few things for the next 3, 4, or 5 years and then pivot again, right? So, but yeah, so let's get back to your story. So you start serving people in college. It sounds like maybe your peers and others. And how did that business go, from starting it, say, through the next few years, if it went that long?
It just it morphed into taking care of businesses, mainly in the Houston area, Houston, Texas area, and just through word of mouth. So I, through family, there was a client that had 63 laptops. Their sales force, they all had viruses. They kept taking them to, the companies to try and fix them, and nobody really knew what to do with them. So I played around with them. I got a couple of them to work. This a family friend took them back to work with him the next day, and I got a call that night. Hey,
61 more.
the boss wants you to come over and fix the rest. So I said, "What, the rest?" And And I just did that one for nothing, just playing around, just to see if I could, because nobody could figure it out at the time. Or nobody that looked at it, could figure it out. So that's where my first major client came from. And then through there, just word of mouth. I didn't do any advertising, and
I love
I
that.
had 10 clients pretty quick,
Nice. And the thing, how much did your business cost to set up?
Zero, nothing.
I love that.
Nothing.
And it's not if it failed, okay, you learned some lessons and it's you spent time. Your time has value, but you didn't lose hundreds of thousands of dollars. So, a lot of people and I'm guilty of this, will do like a build it and they will come model. And not saying that's always wrong, but if you put years and years into something and lots and lots of money and then you did zero market testing and maybe the market changed since you started, and then nobody shows up, man. That's a heavy cost to pay. So
Tough.
and it sounds like, I mean, you I guess we'll say you got lucky maybe with the timing of the, with the just where the market can how the market conditions were at that time were definitely in your favor for sure. So let's fast forward though, from adversity to abundance. You mentioned before we hit record that you've faced some real business challenges over the years. I don't want to go skip too far ahead too quickly, but if you can kind of bridge that gap for us from a business standpoint, from the sort of flourishing small business with 10 clients to the period where you started to hit some real business adversity,
Sure.
that'd be great.
So fast forward to, some years to probably 2014, 15, somewhere in there. At this point, I formed a new company and went in as a 50-50 partner with a partner, and where we continued to grow the company together. Through that, we got to just over almost 11 million in revenue. It was our best year,
Nice.
and good profit margins. Things were seemingly going great. And then our largest client that accounted for 40% of our revenue, which is another no-no, they tell you not to
It's
have
too much
a whale client, right? But
concentration risk,
yeah,
right?
it happened. And here we were.
Well, what are you going to do? Turn the client down? No.
You can't say no. You just gotta keep going and try and find more of them, So when we got a summons or a notice papers served that they were suing us, and we'd never been sued before. We'd had a few clients threaten over small things, and we just took care of it and talked to them and came to an agreement and everything. It happens.
Sure.
When you have, I think we had about, 1,000 clients, very small to very the big 40% one. And you have these things come up. But this is not something that anyone really tells you about. So this client that sued us, it was a big deal. And they were much bigger than us, and this could have taken us out of business, because come to find out, we had an insurance agent, but we didn't have they weren't recommending the right type of insurance to cover us with E&O. So there was we were naked,
Wow. So, and from a mental standpoint, when you receive those papers, what goes through, through your mind?
You just it was a ton of stress, because you start to think about, well, this could clean us out. We've got all these employees that we have. We had maybe 16 employees at
Okay,
that
I was going to
time,
ask you that. Yep.
16, 18, somewhere in there. And we're helping them feed their families,
Sure. A
and
lot of responsibility.
then we've got our own families to feed. And and really, no, I've never had a real job like that. like what do I do from here
Right.
if all this breaks apart, and how do we handle this, and how are we going to get through it, and so and it caused some infighting between my partner and I, which is unfortunate, but due to the stress, I think we both started drinking more than what you would say is normal, which I don't really like alcohol, but at the time it served a
It was a
purpose.
numbing agent,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yes. Not recommended, by the way. Don't do that.
No.
But yeah, it was heavy stuff,
So what were they, if you can, I'm sure there's things you can't talk about with it, but what were the accusations what were they suing you for?
They were claiming that we sold them things that they didn't ask for, and they were claiming that we overcharged them for what we were providing them.
Okay.
We had evidence to show otherwise, but you
Yeah.
had to the
The
burden's
onus
on
is
you
on
then.
you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
They always say innocent until proven guilty, but really in a civil case like this, it's, hey, you're guilty until you prove that you're
Right.
not,
Yeah.
So
Yeah, that I can imagine. What did you do? I mean, did you just drink for the next 3 years or no, I'm kidding, but
I'd like
I
that
mean,
might have been one approach,
yeah.
but
I guess really, how long do you just sit in and kind of in shock or wallowing in, fear or whatever you want to call it, but and then I guess maybe not a recommendation, but for you, how did it work? Was it 2 weeks of, just what do we do? This is terrible, or did you immediately go into action?
So I immediately went into action, and it's just the way that I am
Sure.
wired.
Yeah.
Others involved just kind of wanted to, they didn't know what to do, and I get it. I mean, you don't know what to do, but I'm always one in business to run in the fire to, so that's what I did. I figured out, I found a lawyer and I started going after it. I said, okay, what do we need to do next? And I started learning about, the law, and I started learning about, because they were saying some sort of, they were citing an antitrust law that we were gouging them of in some way. And, so I started building the documentation. Mind you, there was probably, I don't know, 60 orders, ranging in size. I mean, we're talking about thousands of items and services, and we had to hire staff, to support this client. We had to buy machinery and vehicles and
Wow.
increase our warehouse space. So there was a lot of, we
Yeah.
were warehousing for them. So there was a lot going on,
A
and
lot
not
of
to.
and a lot of regardless of the lawsuit itself, even if they just pulled out as a client, you're saying
Yeah.
that's a huge deal without
Yes.
having to fight this lawsuit.
Yeah.
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 Okay, so you find an attorney. How long does this whole process take to fight this?
It takes about 2 years.
Wow.
And it was an interesting, grueling, but educational
Well,
2 years,
that's a key
and
point.
expensive.
Yeah, right. Were you able to, at any point during that 2 years, acknowledge that, okay, this is educational. I'm going to be able to learn through this and be a better entrepreneur, better, coach down the road, maybe. Or was it not until years later that you reflected on it and could see that?
I think at some point midway, when I was sitting through maybe my third deposition, third or fourth, this is a tactic that lawyers use to try and wear you down. So I think it was my fourth deposition. The other side had four attorneys there. There was then there was my one attorney, and I just I realized how well I was doing handling the pressure that they were putting on me. The more pressure they would put, the more stable I would appear. And even the more stable in here that I'm like, hey, they don't have any, they're just fishing,
They're
you
just
know?
grasping. Yeah.
And so I think that at that point, probably midway, is when I realized, hey, I'm learning a ton of things I didn't know. And I will use in the future, and I can vouch for that now myself. Now, if there's a lawsuit, I don't freak out. I just go through the motions, you know.
Well, and I imagine it helps you in your coaching business as well, because I mean, lawsuits, unfortunately, are pretty common in the business world.
Yes.
So I imagine you've probably had some level of, dealing with that as a coach for your clients as well.
Yes.
So how did it,
Definitely.
okay, so the you mentioned internal, stress within the company, coming out of that adversity. Well, first, I mean, how did it turn out for you?
It turned out, monetarily, the legal fees alone were right at $1 million. So
Wow, that's
that's the
incredible.
negative. Rip the Band-Aid off. We lost the client, $1 million gone. The lawyer was very nice and worked out a payment plan because although we were successful, we did
That's
not have $1 million sitting around.
Yeah.
And we got through that. But the good is, well, good for us. It through the case, we found out that the same client was also suing all of their vendors.
Oh, wow.
So they were suing their landlord, who did their real estate leases for their locations. And we also learned that, some of the owners did some unscrupulous things and borrowed money to take draws, things like that. Not illegal, but not advisable.
Maybe not ethical.
Yeah, not ethical, I'm sure. And they ended up filing bankruptcy right before we could do a response to their summary judgment. So it all went away at that point. So,
Wow. And then internally, your team, how did it affect things going forward?
it was high stress. Team members, we had them helping us gather invoices and sales receipts and bill of ladings, receive logs, and they knew what was going on, and they were stressed because they were worried about, I'm sure, making mistakes. So some of them quit over it,
And
and
also probably worried about their jobs. Is this is your business
yes,
going to make it? And am I going to have a
yeah,
job after this?
exactly. And then it did cause, as I mentioned earlier, between my partner and I, it caused a considerable amount of stress. And he did not handle it well. And I didn't always handle it well either, So sometimes I would meet his anger and frustration with
With your
in
own.
like kind, yeah. And which I have learned from that experience. And I'm sure he learned as well, because neither of us do that anymore,
Okay, so this was approximately 10 years ago. Is that right? Something like that.
10 years ago is when it all kind of started, and it kind of wrapped up 6 or 7 years ago.
Got it. Okay,
So
so walk us through quickly the last 6 or 7 years of your own business life.
after that, we definitely had a reduction. A 40% reduction in revenue, as expected. But so we had a couple of trying years there where we had to adjust to, the reduction in revenue, and so we had to reduce staff. But we regrouped and found something called EOS, which stands for Entrepreneurial Operating System. And it's basically a system, not software. A lot of people get confused with the system component, but It's a simple set of tools that you implement in your business to really get a great foundation and, find repeatable results from whatever you do, And so we implemented EOS at that point with an implementer and just fell in love with it. Kind of like the laptop moment. It's just it took us from chaos to not always knowing what to do to, hey, there's a place for everything that happens. Any problem, there's 137 issues in the history of business. Any of those fit in a component of EOS. And so it really helped us find stability, growth, and repeatability, which, translates to happy clients, happy employees. And then I like that so much, I started coaching businesses.
Interesting. What size company would you say EOS is best for? I mean, it's fairly expensive from what, from what I have seen, but it's all relative. So, solo entrepreneur, probably not, right? But what size business really should start looking into EOS or a similar system?
I would say $1 million in revenue up to,
Gotcha.
I think it goes to 300 million from about 5 to 300 employees. The
Got it.
company needs to be entrepreneurial in spirit and more afraid of the status quo than they're craving change and they're not afraid of
Right.
it. So
Well,
that's really
isn't
what.
Attraction
Yes.
Gino Wickman's one book, one of his books.
Yep.
So
Yep.
yeah, that was a really good one.
It's
Go ahead.
based on that, and I would say to the individuals that maybe can't afford it or not there, Traction's a great read, and there's a lot of that stuff that can be pulled out and used for an individual to become foundationally successful.
Love it. So sounds like you pivoted. How long ago was this that you really got into coaching?
I started about 3 years ago,
Gotcha.
and as EOS brought me more time back, I got time back from, spending 80 hours a week, sometimes late nights, depositions, as we talked about, and I got the time back and got really good at that. So I used that time to start helping
Got
other
it.
businesses and ended up selling the IT business
Okay.
last year. Just we were getting offers and we got an offer we couldn't say no to.
That's great.
And I was enjoying the coaching and I was really coaching for that business anyways. That's what I was doing on the day to day.
So it
So
wasn't a huge 180 or even a 90 degree pivot. It was kind of just a natural transition into what you're doing now.
yes. Yep.
I mean, this you mentioned early on that the word coaching gets thrown around. Just curious, in from your perspective, what's the difference between coaching, mentoring, consulting, therapy? No, I mean there what is coaching in relation to the rest of those?
I think that it's all of that that you're saying. Sometimes, and what we say is, in the session room, we're teachers, we're facilitators. So teachers, we help, we teach you things, tools to help you. Facilitators, so during the team meetings, sometimes there's one team member that's boisterous and takes up a lot of air. So we have to make sure that there's fair airtime for the introverts in the room because they also have things that they need to get out. And then a coach, someone to rally them on to their goals. And sometimes therapists, things, we're all people and at the end of the day. And I think that the term coaching gets thrown around in these other scenarios where people are selling these courses, which can be good. Okay. That can be great. But you hear there's a negative connotation with coaching because there's courses for sale out there that aren't really great.
Right,
They're
for
put
sure.
together with AI or what have you. And
Yeah.
but people, humans that are coaching other people, it's an invaluable tool to
Yeah.
get you there
Yeah, no,
faster.
we do a little bit of we call it mentorship, it's coaching. I mean, it's and at least from my perspective, it's essentially the same thing. One-on-one mentorship for our mortgage note investing specifically. And you know, we talk about the fact that there are a lot of good courses out there, and those and the mentorship that we offer can really complement, you know, those courses. You may have taken a course, but the truth is it's almost never, it's not one size fits all. So we're there to kind of help you really throw some gasoline on your, you know, on the fire, if you will, and really advance your progress through mentorship and coaching. And there are also, you know, group memberships that are can be really good, masterminds. And so these aren't all in competition necessarily. They can work really well synergistically, but you're absolutely right. The coaching world gets a bad rap, and rightfully so, in some, you know, for good reason, unfortunately. But that doesn't mean all coaches are bad, or all, you know, all programs are bad.
No. And I'm sure y'all have helped people break through in that space, which is awesome. You know, it's
For sure. No, and it's really fun too. I mean, it's, I mean, I enjoy it. Just seeing people, you know, it's them doing it. I'm just there to
yeah.
support them, and you know, to see the growth. And many people, it doesn't really stick, and it's largely timing or their own factors or whatever. And it, you know, but stick meaning they may try note investing for a bit, and then, yeah, this isn't really for me. That's okay too. They learn something. But yeah, so now I've got some questions for you. But before that we get there, what does your business look like today? Is it just you, your coaching business? Just you? Do you have a team, or what does it look like?
I ha it's me. I have an assistant that helps with things, and then I have someone that helps with the sales coaching component that helps specifically with sales and marketing.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it's just small team right now.
Yeah. Are you more a little bit more operations focused, I guess?
I'm more in this in the session room or in the Zoom meetings with the teams and helping them, build out their tools that they need, coming up with goals and a plan for a path forward in the next 90 days, 1 year, 3 years.
Got it. All right, you ready for a few rapid fire questions?
Sure.
What is it? We mentioned Traction, but what's another book or two that you'd recommend?
I would recommend, let's see. Oh, it just went blank. I'm trying to think one. I think one of them is The Richest Man in Babylon.
Oh yeah, that's a good book.
And it's a good read. It's a fable, but I recommend that to younger people to read so they get a handle on their money early.
Yeah, speaking of that, financial abundance, how has that made your life better personally?
It's funny. I've never really focused on primarily on money. And it just comes when you find what you're good at and you do it well. I look at the time I get, is my pay. I get the time back and I've been successful. So it's given me time
Yeah.
to spend with my kids, to go on vacation. And I love that.
That's awesome. What do you think is one of the biggest psychological barriers that, say, real estate entrepreneurs, it could be all entrepreneurs, but small business owners, just psychological barriers that entrepreneurs face today?
I think, and specifically experience with a couple of my real estate clients, they focus a lot on their competition and they're thinking, oh, well, that so and so's doing better than I am. I guess so the comparing, it's the thief of joy, right? And we're all in different places and we have to meet each other where we're at. Like when I'm in a room with somebody helping them, I have to meet them where they are. But we don't forget, you have to meet yourself where you are. And I think that people overlook that. And it's easy to open up Instagram, Facebook,
Right.
whatever your poison is,
Yeah.
and see that Laura's out there selling. She sold another house. I need
Right.
to catch up.
Sure.
So, I
Absolutely.
think that's the one of the biggest things I see.
What would you say, what's the role of luck in luck versus skill in success?
I think that I don't want to say I don't believe in luck, but I believe in if you have the right mindset and you put yourself in the right places and you continuously learn forever, never quit learning, luck will come, if you want to call it that.
Love that. Well, how do you do tactically, maybe on a daily basis, or is there anything you do to get yourself into the right mindset?
I would say that I wake up early, before there's a lot of noise. And so I try and plan my day as much as possible, and put the most important things first and so get some wins early.
That's good.
And
Get some traction.
get some traction. And that definitely makes for a positive day instead of waking up in chaos, not sure what to do next, no
Reacting.
direction.
Sure. That's really good. What's something that you've seen that's, in your years as an entrepreneur or a coach, that you would consider controversial?
Controversial. I'm trying to think of something. I
Keep
would
you
say
on your
that,
toes.
I would just say that, if it sounds too good to be true, then in my experience, it is. It's
That's
just
good.
so if someone's overpromising,
Yeah.
say they're a salesperson, they're interviewing at your company and they promise, oh, I sold $1 million last year and did this and that. And you look down and their shoes are worn and, they don't, their cars broke down and it just doesn't add up. Listen to all of
To
those
your gut,
things, not to
sure,
judge them, but
right, for
they're
yourself
not being
though,
honest. Yeah.
right. And then looking forward in just kind of small business in general across it's a broad spectrum, but what would you say are some emerging challenges maybe that some of your real estate entrepreneurs are facing? It could be AI related or just kind of looking over the next year or two, what do you see as an emerging challenge in the real estate entrepreneur space?
There's two to come to mind. One challenge that I just dealt with in a meeting a couple of weeks ago is this change to having to have a buyer's agent agreement signed before you see a property. So for the realtors out there that I coach, they're struggling with this. They have to build entire processes because there's a fine associated. If they don't do this, there's a fine associated with it. And it's not good. And so you have these people that aren't, always entrepreneurial and they don't have processes nailed down for the buyer side. They're having to come scramble to come up with something to cover.
And that is a key point that you just kind of quickly mentioned is just, like being a good salesperson or a good expert in a certain field is not the same thing as being a good business owner. My father has been a real estate agent for decades and did quite well, at times. And for there were a lot of ups and downs, but not necessarily the greatest business person, a really good salesperson and a really hard worker and good with people and things, but that's very different than implementing a system, whether it's EOS or something like that. If you could have coffee with any historical figure, whom would you choose and why?
Well, let's see. I would have to say Ronald Reagan.
Okay, like that one.
He
If
just got so many nuggets that I've heard him say over the years that I'm like, I wish I could have met that guy.
Absolutely. If you were given $10 million tomorrow, Chris, what would you do with it?
I would definitely invest some into real estate, and I would probably invest the rest of it in Nvidia.
Okay.
I like that stock right now, and I'm in it
Nice.
pretty heavy, so
Not financial advice, by the way, but
no.
that's what Chris would do.
Personal. Yes.
Fantastic. What is one question that you wish I'd asked you, but I haven't?
I'd say, pick one of the most important things for team success. And my answer would be to increase team health and team trust. It's something vastly overlooked by people where they don't elect to implement a system, whether it's EOS or something else, where they don't get in a room together on a regular basis. High trust teams is where success happens. When there's low trust, backstabbing, back channeling, it doesn't work.
I
I see
think
it.
it's even more just I think that's a challenge now, I mean more so than before, even maybe where we're so virtual, and I just think not being in person, I love the upside to it, right? There's certainly benefits, but if you're not meeting in person really ever or somewhat frequently, you just miss out on that kind of team element of things. And personally, that's why I love working with former athletes or former team members of some sort, if you will, because they've already got that kind of team first mentality. And it's not just about you, it's about the mission and the team. And that's really good. And you're right, it's so easy to look past that and underestimate the value of trust within the team.
It
The
is.
human element is really what it comes back to, right?
Yeah, that's right. It does.
So before we sign off here, your coaching services, you do private coaching, workshops, team coaching, keynotes. Anything else you want to mention?
No, that's pretty much everything I do, individual or team. And my goal is to help people be their best, and whether it's in a team or individually, and that's what
Love
my
that.
mission is.
Any really quick case studies you could give, like success story from a client or anything?
I have a there was an individual that I coached that he was a trainer in a gym, and now he just not even 7 or 8 years later, I coached him, helped him. He did the work, as you said before. He owns an insurance agency with 25 million in premium. He built from nothing.
That's amazing.
Awesome.
That is so cool. Awesome. Well, Chris Davenport, this has been a blast. Where can our listeners find you online?
They can find me at chd2.com on the web.
Perfect. Any other contact information or just your website? I think that's
I have an Instagram out there. It's I am Chris Davenport.
okay. Sounds great. Well, Chris, thank you so much. This is very, you've definitely faced adversity that I don't think we've really talked about previously on the show with specifically with the lawsuit, and it was a monster one for sure. And so to me, if you're going to hire a coach, it makes sense to hire a coach who's dealt with some adversity, because if they haven't, then they haven't really been an entrepreneur, probably not for very long, because nobody's success story is straight and up and to the right.
It's definitely not linear. And Jamie, I appreciate that. I just hope it helps somebody out there struggling with the same horror story. It all works out in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. You've given a lot of practical tips and inspiration today. So, Chris, thanks for joining us. And to the listener out there, thank you for joining us and spending your most valuable resource with us. That is your time and more specifically, your attention. I'm going to start saying that instead, but your time and attention. We'll say those two resources. So, thank you all. We appreciate it. Thank you, Chris. Take care,
Thank
everyone.
you.
Thank you for joining us on From Adversity to Abundance. We hope today's episode has equipped you with valuable insights and practical advice to elevate your real estate journey. For more inspiring stories and resources, visit us at www.adversitytoabundance.com. If this episode has inspired you, please share it with a friend who could also benefit from our conversation. Together, let's turn adversity into abundance. Until next time, keep building your mental fitness and your real estate empire.
All right, here's the deal. You work hard for your money. Isn't it about time you put your money to work for you? If you are an accredited investor, check out LabradorLending.com. Our Integrity Income Fund provides monthly cash flow from an investment backed by hard physical real estate. Our income fund, which is uncorrelated to publicly traded stocks and bonds, invests in first lien mortgage notes diversified by geography, property value, and borrower type. So you're not investing in one project. You're investing in a diversified portfolio of first lien mortgage notes. Our Integrity Income Fund aims to pay its investors monthly distributions at a preferred rate of return of 8% annually. Possibly the best part, though, the fund showcases a short 12-month commitment. So you can invest your capital today and have access to that capital in 1 year. Check it out today, LabradorLending.com.